Hey, good morning, Encounter. Oh man, good looking bunch out there today. I'm glad to be with you this morning and just looking forward to inviting the Lord to work a wonder in us as we go to His living word this morning. Before I jump into God's great living word, I just have a few just church updates to share with you. One of the ministries in our church that is so effective at reaching young children and young families in our community is our preschool. We have just under 200 children that are part of our preschool. I don't know how many families that represents, but it's quite a few families. And Debbie Keegan has been our preschool director and part of our staff for 36 years. And she is announcing her retirement at the end of this school year. And you think about a woman like Debbie and the leadership she has provided for us as a church. You think about the literally thousands of children who have heard about Jesus Christ through our preschool. I know that there are people in this room right now because you had a child in the preschool and that connected you to our church. I know there are some of you in the room who your child went to preschool, then you came to church, and then you met Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a vital ministry that we have in our community, and we're thankful for Debbie. Then you think about her legacy with all of the preschool teachers and their lives, and as she shepherds and leads them. And so we're super thankful for her. And I think, you know, 36 years may be a record at Encounter. I'm not sure. Somebody will have to let me know, but it's pretty amazing. And she's gracious enough, so she's not retiring right now, so we're not saying goodbye. We have a whole other school year with her, but she's just given us the opportunity to begin a search for our next preschool director. And so we actually would like to have some overlap and some cross-training. And so if you are somebody or know somebody who might be interested in being a preschool director, you can go to our website at encounterlife.org, and you'll find all of our job postings there, and someone can apply. But be praying for Debbie and be praying for our preschool as she has her final year together. She'll be at 37 years when she retires, which is just a testimony to the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand for her. And how fun to see the video earlier about our rooted small group. If you happen to be new to Encounter or just new to the Lord, never been in a small group in our church before, rooted are just great small groups to get you started, to grow in your faith, your understanding of Christ, and to grow in community. And so check that out if that applies to you. Also, last Sunday we shared about our crown groups. These are groups where you can really align your financial life with your spiritual life. And so those groups will be taking place during the fall as well. So some great opportunities for us. Well, Jesus, in the book of Matthew, once said that the greatest among us shall be our servant, or your servant. The greatest among us, among you, shall be your servant. And so as followers of Christ, if we are going to have our hearts just full for Him, part of what we're going to need to understand is, what does it mean to have the heart of a servant from God's perspective? And I think about what it means to live a life and to have a heart of a servant from God's perspective. And you think about, well, what does that mean? You know, where do I need to be? How do I need to be? When do I need to serve? These are these pivotal questions we ask. And they are big questions in this busy, demanding life that we live in. Anybody feel busy in life out there, occasionally out there? A few of you out there. A pastor once asked this question on social media: what's hard about serving others? And they got back all kinds of answers, but this was one of the posts. It said, serving is hard when it doesn't fit into my schedule or plan, like when I want to do one thing and someone else needs something else. And you say, good answer to that, right? Here was another post. It's hard when their need seems endless. I don't want to risk helping because I may get sucked in. Oh, yeah, that one is true as well. Someone else said that there's such limited energy left after a demanding workday, whether parenting young kids or living in the corporate world or both. What a good answer. But my favorite answer from the survey of what's so hard about serving others was a rather simple answer, and the answer was others. It's so true. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 today, We are going to be invited to let God work a wonder in us as we learn the heart and the life of a servant from God's perspective. And we're going to learn it through the example of two great, great women of the Bible. Their names are Martha and Mary. They're sisters. And we're going to read the passage that talks about their encounter with Jesus Christ. So would you stand with me for the reading of God's word today? We're in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Would you pray with me, church family? Father God, we all came today, Lord, for many reasons. Lord, I'm sure some of us just came because it'd be cooler than our homes today. And we're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful for this building and all who sacrificed to help us get here. And Lord, we just ask you to work a wonder in us right now. Lord, you call us to be servants. We ask you to work a wonder and help us to understand what that means from your perspective. God, we just want to serve you in this world. And Lord, one of the ways we do that is in prayer. And we just pray for all the victims and families affected by the earthquake in Morocco, Lord. The devastation in our world is beyond comprehension sometimes. And yet, God, we know that your light shines bright for people in times like that. And so that is our prayer for the people of that country and for all who are coming to their aid. Lord, come to our aid right now. We love you, and we give this time to you, and we just declare our praise over you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Well, the story of Martha and Mary in Luke 10 is a famous passage, really about a famous battle in our hearts, because it displays a famous tension that all of us deal with if we're genuinely going to ask the Lord what it means to be a servant in this busy, demanding world that we live in. And one of the things that I love about Encounter are the servants of our church. You are amazing. I look around the room and I see people who are part of so many different ministries here on our campus, on Sundays, throughout the week, in our community, and even around the world. And I think of people like Steve Culbertson of our church. Steve is retired, and he is a part of our Encounter Youth Ministry, and he leads a small group of middle school boys on Wednesday nights. Anybody who leads a small group of middle school boys gets hero points in my book. I was a middle school pastor for a while. I love people who love middle schoolers. If you can love middle schoolers, you can love anybody. Steve is amazing. Steve also leads our men's Bible study on Tuesday nights. What an impact he is making, and I thank God for the Steves in the room. I think of Carrie Yost. Carrie Yost is like this secret weapon in our church. You probably don't know what she's doing. You don't see what she's doing. But just about any major event that we do as a church family, she is behind the scenes organizing, finding things, putting things together, putting things away afterwards so things can continue on. And she's a mom of teenagers, an amazing servant in our church. I thank God for the carries of our church. I think of Don Friedman. Don has pretty much, I'm pretty sure, just about every Thursday for the last 17 years, come to this room and straighten these chairs for Sunday morning. You do not realize how God is using this space during the week between our preschool and all the events that go on in this room. It's amazing to see what God is doing throughout our campus throughout the week. But you all would be going all kinds of different directions right now if it weren't for Don to come in here with his gentle heart and just prayerfully align these chairs for us to come in and worship together on Sunday mornings. I thank God for the Dons of Encounter. I think of Joanne Roth. She works full-time, And yet one lunch day a week, she comes in here and assists with our Encounter Kids ministry and just prepares materials for Sunday morning that God is going to use to impact the lives of children. I thank God for the Joannes of our church. Or Brad Blue, who I think is sitting right over here somewhere. There he is, right over there. He's one of the newest recruits to our Encounter Youth Ministry, and he's helping with middle school students, middle school boys on Sundays at the 10:45 hour. And he's a father of young children himself, and yet he's taking the time to invest in the lives of middle school boys and is phenomenal at it. Brad, I thank God for the Brads of our church. Or Dave Haynes. Dave was playing bass today. But the thing about you need to know about Dave is that he actually usually plays electric guitar. But Dave noticed we were a little short-handed on bass players, and so he's just like, hey, I'm just here to help. And he has been playing bass for us quite often over the last few weeks and even months. And he is that guy who just brings the oomph to our worship. You may not know he's doing it, but he's giving us the rhythm behind everything that God is doing. And I thank God for the Daves of our church. And I could just keep on going down the list. And I'm just going to mention this too. There's a group of you in the room. You have been at Encounter for a long time, and you have been that group that God has just used to be the foundation, even in the lows and the highs of the church family. I thank God for every one of you. Can we just give the Lord a hand for the servants of Encounter? So in Luke 10, the Lord gives us some lessons on the heart of serving from Martha and Mary, because these two women give us a snapshot of polarizing tendencies that all of us face. There's Debbie Keegan over there. I didn't see you sitting over there. Can we give another hand to Debbie? I didn't see her over there this morning. Thankful to have you in here, Debbie. So thankful for you. But this is the first lesson. It's a lesson of balance. Serving Christ calls for a healthy balance of Martha and Mary in us. Verse 38 shows us two very different people. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So get this. Here are these two women. They're sisters. They're in the same house. One is standing and busy and vocal. One is sitting and still and learning. One is giving out. The other is receiving in and soaking in the presence of the Lord. One is making judgments on the other. One is listening to justice himself in that moment. One is a doer. One is being in the Lord, and both have pieces for us to learn from. Both actually reflect the heart of a servant who is following Jesus Christ. And the reality is, today, some of us in this room need to learn a little bit from Martha. We need to have some action in our life as part of the kingdom of God. And some of us in this room need to learn a little bit from Mary and to be in Christ and to soak in who he is as we're following Jesus Christ. And yes, Mary is the one who's praised, but notice as you read this passage, the Lord never criticizes Martha's serving, only the motivation behind it. And one of the things that's noteworthy about this passage, this encounter with Christ, is that Luke, as far as the Gospels goes, is the only Gospel that mentions this specific encounter with these two amazing women with Jesus. So Matthew, Mark, and John, they don't mention it. But Luke, who God is using to record the life of Christ, the story of redemption through Christ, the story of the rise of the church later through the book of Acts, Luke finds it fundamental to understanding who Jesus Christ is to include this encounter. And its placement in the Gospel of Luke is pretty strategic because it comes just after the story of the Good Samaritan and just before Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer. So think about that for a moment. What a great story to bridge the gap between two fundamental teachings, because right before we have this message on loving and reaching and serving our neighbor, of being active in the Lord and for the Lord, and right after we have this teaching on the Lord's Prayer and being in relationship with God as we follow Him. And in between is this message that fleshes out both of those teachings, where the Good Samaritan is this story of how everyone's passing by this person who's been outcast and beaten up on the side of the road, but one person stops and helps them. They become their neighbor, so to speak, in this passage, reflecting God's heart for action. And then in the next part, in the Lord's Prayer, it teaches us how to pray on mission in relationship with the Father, being in Christ. So one is serving through doing, and one is serving through devotion. And this is what's fascinating. All of these teachings, so you have the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. You also have now this encounter with Mary and Martha. And then just in the beginning of the next chapter, you have the Lord's teaching, Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And all of those three things are preceded by this really important command in the Gospel of Luke. It's in verse 27, Luke chapter 10, verse 27, where we're told this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." What greater example for us to flesh that out of what that looks like than Martha and Mary? Martha is loving her neighbor, so to speak, by loving Jesus and the disciples. And Mary is loving her Lord in worship and devotion. And so I just don't want you to miss the balance. Martha isn't all bad. And Mary, yes, she's the silent character in this passage, and she's clearly nailing it in the moment, but there are lessons from both. The lesson of this passage isn't an either or, it really is a both and. I'll tell you one of the ways this is reflected in our church, in the leadership of our church. I'm privileged to be a part of our elder board, and I'm so thankful for our elder team. If you don't know who some of our elders are, our chairman of the board is Tony Cortez, and our vice chair is David Arajo, who just turned 65 yesterday. I can give him up since I'm up here. And then we have our two Robs, Rob Gapper, which I think is sitting over here, and Rob Westberg over here, Kenji Miata and Patrick McCaslin. And then we have two elders in training, David Uribe and Eric Birdwell. And this is a chance for some leaders in our church to discern that this is God's affirmation on them going on to continue to be elders in our church in the future. But we meet at least twice a month, and they'd laugh at me if I said, because actually there's usually a lot more meetings than that in reality. But this is really cool, because we really have a Martha meeting and a Mary meeting. In one of our meetings, it's really the big direction of our church, all making the decisions as God is leading His church, and we're following Him in that, and you know, all the active things that are going on, decisions that need to be made from the shepherding group of our church. And then the other is more of a Mary meeting. We meet for prayer, and prayer is a significant ministry of being a servant. We also learn together just more about what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ and leaders. And so you see that reflected just in the spiritual leadership of Encounter. And I am so thankful for the servants in our church who are part of our prayer ministries. Thankful for those of you who pray in the back on Sundays. So glad that people have a place to go and be prayed for. I also just want to look around the room and say thank you for those who are just individual prayer warriors. You know who you are, but you do battle for God's people at Encounter, and we're thankful for you. The next lesson is the lesson of too much. Serving too much can distract us, actually, from our Savior. Verse 40, "But Martha was distracted with much serving." Anybody feel like that sometimes? Whether it's in your home or in your church or in the community. "And she went up to Him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.'" Now, I love Martha. I love the Marthas of the world. I can relate to Martha. Martha likes to get things done. And Martha actually anticipates a positive answer to her question. That's what I love about her as she's talking to Jesus. She expects the Lord to come to her aid, and she's performing a worthy task in her mind. And you know, she's looking around and she sees what her sister is not doing. And she assumes that her evaluation of her sister is correct. Wouldn't it be great if we evaluated our own hearts as much as we evaluate all the hearts of others around us? In fact, one of the things that will suffocate a church is when people become more of an evaluating agency than being just servants of Jesus Christ and letting him lead us collectively together. But Martha crossed the line, and the Lord refuses to hear her complaint. And I think about that. What if Martha had just served with grace and gratitude? I wonder how Luke would have been written had that been the case. And in verse 41, it continues, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" And look at some of the statements that describe her. Distracted with much serving, anxious and troubled about many things. Somewhere in her gift that she's been given in life, this gift of hospitality, many and much has crowded out her calling and her carrying out of this thing that God has gifted with her to do in life. Many and much has clouded her actual focus on her Savior, and now she's focused on what her sister is not doing. And like in any normal church family, it's just super easy sometimes to miss what God is calling us to do versus what he is calling someone else to do. And I mean, the truth is that God brings us to a church family, all of us at different places. In fact, some of you in this room, you're just healing from something right now, and it's not the right time to serve. You just need to be. You just need to soak in the Lord. And we just want you to know, if that's you, man, God's blessing over you. We're so thankful that you're here to soak right now. There are probably some of you in this room who have just met Jesus Christ as Savior, or you're still even putting the pieces together of what it means to follow him as your Savior. And you simply need to grow and just experience who the Lord is. And we're all wired and called to serve ultimately at some point, but it's God's timing when it's the right time to do that. And he's the one that leads us in the right time, as we'll see later on in the passage. By the way, if you're ever not sure where to get started in our church family, it was mentioned earlier that we have Encounter 11 today. We do these once a month. It's 11 minutes right after this service is over. You just walk that way across the campus. You'll see a big feather flag. We call that the living room over there. And you'll get to meet all the pastoral leadership of our church, our pastors and directors. And it's just a front door into our church family to help you be able to take your next step of faith, whatever that may be. And we get to meet each other. Just follow the bald guy walking over there after the service, or you can follow Lindsay or Kelly or Austin or Jacob, all who have a whole bunch of hair, more hair than I do, okay? So, but my head's easier to see sometimes in the sunlight. You know, by the way, I mentioned Pastor Jacob. He and his fiance Sierra are getting married in 3 weeks now. How exciting is that? Yeah. Be praying for them. They are actually still looking for some housing. So if anybody in here knows of some rental opportunities you think might be a good fit for them, talk to Jacob or talk to one of the staff. We'll pass that on. Or maybe you're in the room and you sing, or you play an instrument, or you're a techie, or you just have this creative mind that can be used in behind the scenes and everything that's going on. There's no better time to become a part of a ministry than when it's in foundational stages in a new season of ministry. And so it's a great time to join our worship ministry. And you can always just write on your new here card, just, hey, interested in worship or tech, or just finding out more, and that will get to our worship ministry and we'll reach out to you. Also right now, we have a growing number of children on Sunday mornings. Praise God for that. Amen. But we need a growing number of servants to go along with that. And so if you want to be equipped to just love children, you can come to one service and worship, go to another service and serve. You can do it once a month, every other week, however the Lord leads you. But talk to Gloria and our children's ministry team. Some great opportunities because God's doing great things in the lives of children right now as a church family. But sometimes the gifting God has given us can overtake us when we get consumed by the many and much. Anybody been there? I fight it all the time in my life. There's a story about how the king of Siam, when he would have an enemy that he wanted to confuse and, you know, to cause damage to their situation, he had a unique way of going after his enemies, because what he would do is he would give them a very unique gift. And the gift that he would give them was an elephant. But not just any elephant, a white elephant, a live albino elephant. Because in the culture of that time, albino elephants were sacred. And so if he gave this white elephant to one of his enemies, they would be forced to put this inordinate amount of energy, time, emotion, and finances into caring for this white elephant. And as a result, his enemies would end up destroying themselves in taking care of that white elephant. And so many times in our lives, the enemy tries to do the same for each of us. There's something in our life that God has gifted us with. It's a gift, and sometimes it's connected to something sacred in our culture, and all of a sudden it starts taking over in our life. I can think of a few things like that, like children. They're gifts, right? Amen? Ever have children kind of take over your life? You ever have a child who gets into sports? These are amazing things. Like, you become this chauffeur for like 3 hours in the evening after work every night, going, you're hoping you don't leave a child at one of the parks somewhere along the way. And then they continue to go because then your child, who's a gift, all of a sudden has these gifts in their sport, and it becomes more and more and more. And then before you know it, there's this tension in your life. And you start to take a step back for a moment. You're like, the many and much is taking over here. And I'm not sure whether I'm developing a culture of sports in my child's life or whether I'm developing a culture of worship. And it's such a fine line, that tension that can happen in our life. I always tell families, if you don't feel the tension, it may actually be that you're putting all your energy into the most important game in your child's life as you're shepherding them in that season. And most of the time, the white elephants in our life are things that culture considers sacred, but we don't always recognize it as being something that our culture worships in one form or another. And the question becomes, what's our own white elephant in life right now that might be causing the many and much and causing us to miss a heart of worship and a heart of service as a part of the kingdom of God? The next lesson is the lesson of the servant, where serving isn't the same as being a servant. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Now, it really helps to realize where Jesus and the disciples are headed when this is all happening. Because they are going somewhere. They're going to the capital city of Israel, to Jerusalem, for the last time. Jesus is on his way to die for our sins, and then to rise again and to invite us into a life where we get to be a part of this eternal team, making an eternal impact for the glory of God. But to get there, they had to go through this village named Bethany. And Bethany was basically a suburb of Jerusalem, about 2 miles to the east of Jerusalem. It'd be a little bit like if you're going to L.A., but you're going to go through Simi to get there. You know, a suburb of L.A., basically. And they're hungry. And so at first they're like, well, we could go to Mickey D's, but there were no Mickey D's back then. So they're like, hey, you know, maybe we'll go to McJerusalem Burger. Those are pretty good. Burger Emperor, yeah, that's pretty good. And they're thinking about their options because they're hungry. And all of a sudden, Martha, who lives there, hears that Jesus and the disciples are in town. And she insists, because of her gift of hospitality, that they are going to come over to her house for dinner because she loves them. And, you know, I've thought about this. It's always a bit of a threat when a good cook has God over for dinner. It is. Think about it, how intimidating it is for a good cook to have God over for dinner at their house and then throw in 12 hungry preachers called the disciples. And this is like an Olympic feat. You know, I've been married now 25 years, and I'm very proud and blessed to be able to say that to my beautiful bride, Amy. Yeah, amen to that. Just happened this last August. We're so thankful for that. But there's something about my wife that amazes me. She works a full-time job. Sometimes we'll have some friends coming over for dinner during the week, and somehow she is able to have the right food in our refrigerator and then somehow get home from work. She has to commute on some days and put it all together, and there's this beautiful meal. And I assist, like I'm on the peripheral. I'm taking out the trash and doing it, but she does all the important work, and there's this gift that a cook has. Because basically what a good cook does, it's something special. They take cold food from the refrigerator at one time, and they put it on the stove and make it hot at another time, and then they bring it all together at the same time so that everyone can have a good time, all right? That is what a good cook does, and it's a gift, and Martha has it in spades. I mean, for me personally, we're talking barbecue, breakfast dinners, Trader Joe's frozen meals, but not for Martha. And Martha's trying to pull off this miracle, and it's not going well. The stove is giving off more smoke than heat. The bread isn't rising. The meat is overdone and a little bit dry, and before she knows it, it's like this meal that she's cooking is looking more like a burnt offering than a dinner. And while that's all happening, all of a sudden she goes, well, man, I could sure use Mary's help right now. And she looks into the living room, and there is Mary, her sister, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, soaking in his moment, in the moment. And she is furious. And all of a sudden, this volcano goes off in her, and she walks back into the kitchen, and God is teaching her a lesson. And the lesson is this: there is a difference, a true difference between serving and being a servant. And this is where I really appreciate Martha, because Martha is one of those people that gets things done. In fact, we meet her in other places in Scripture. You might remember how Lazarus dies and Jesus comes on the scene, but he's 4 days late to the funeral. Lazarus has been buried for 4 days and Jesus shows up. They drag him to the cemetery and Jesus says, well, roll away the stone to the tomb. And Martha is the only one who speaks up. She's a little uncouth. She's like, oh, Lord, it's been 4 days. It's going to smell. You know, you don't want to roll away the stone. But I love that about Martha. She's a realist, and she knows if you are going to feed 15 people, someone's going to have to get in the kitchen and hustle and get it done. Richard Foster, he talks about the difference between being a servant and servanthood. He says this: there's a difference between choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. When I choose to serve, I retain control about whom I serve and when I serve. But when I choose to be a servant, I have given up all rights and all control. When I choose to be a servant, I have given up all rights and all control. That's from Celebration of Discipline. In other words, service is not about adding one more thing to our busy schedule. Service is about being a servant with all the people and all the places in life that God has called us to. And the reality is, sometimes we can serve without being a servant. And it's really defined by our motivation. Eddie Chapman was a British citizen in the early 1900s, and he was a guy who lived a life of low-level crime, and he ended up as in jail in Britain. And while he was in jail, he met two Germans, and they actually convinced him to become a spy for the Nazi war machine when he got out of jail. And so when he got out of jail, he left Britain, went to Germany, and the Nazi war machine trained him in being a spy against his own country, Britain. They taught him all kinds of things. And his first assignment was to go back into Britain, go to this airplane factory, and to destroy it. And so Germany flew him into the British countryside. He parachuted in, but the British intelligence was already on to Eddie Chapman, and they intercepted him. And they probably could have thrown him in a hole until the end of the war or something like that. But instead, what they did is they turned him, and they turned him into a double agent. And he became an agent for the British government. And he began to go back and forth between Britain and Germany. And they actually pretended that he had destroyed the airplane factory so that Germany would believe that he was still a spy on their behalf instead of Britain's behalf. And that happened throughout the war. And he learned all kinds of German warfare and weaponry and plans and really helped Britain as a result. But for me personally, I can't imagine being in a position of being a double agent and having to pretend that you're working both sides of a conflict. Can you imagine that? Well, actually, I can. I have twins. I'm a father of twins. Yeah, sometimes I feel like the double agent in those ones. But this passage today asks us a really important question. Just like Eddie Chapman must have asked himself at times, who am I ultimately serving and why? What is my ultimate why as a servant of God? Because God never wants service to be something that we do without being servants. And it leads to the final lesson, the lesson of one thing, where it's helpful to ask, what is my one thing right now with the Lord? Verse 41 displays it, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary understood what would make Jesus smile over her life in that moment. And she asked a question that I think you can never lose by asking. And that is, what will please the Lord right now in my life? And for Martha, Martha thought that it was making a meal. But somehow she missed the most important thing. But Mary knew it was sitting at the feet of Christ in worship and devotion to him. In fact, I would suggest when we get in seasons of life where we're not sure where to serve or how to serve or why we're serving, if we start in devotion and worship of the Lord, which is why I think God begins this whole series of passages with the greatest command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you really can't go wrong there because it's out of there that we get the heart of a true servant of Christ and know how and why we're serving. But the questions are similar for all of us today. Do you need a little bit more Martha in your life right now? Some action. Literally to get off the bench and to join the great mission of what God is doing through your church family, because he is on the move and you can be a part where your action for and with the Lord is wonderful to be a true servant of the Lord. Or today, do you need a little bit more of Mary in your life? You are busy. You got lots of things going on and you just need to sit and be, to be in worship, to be in community with others and to be growing with the Lord. Is Jesus your one thing today? Is he your ultimate why as a servant of God? Let's pray. Would you take a moment and just between you and the Lord, just ask him to lead your mind right now and your heart. And just ask him, what's my one thing right now, Lord? What's the one thing in the midst of everything that would just please you in my life right now? Jesus, we thank you for being the ultimate servant and serving us all the way to the cross and out of the grave and inviting us into life with you. Lord, I pray for those in the room today that have been really busy and just need to sit and be and to heal and to soak. And Lord, I pray that they would give themselves the grace before you to do that for however long of a season they need. And Lord, I pray for others today, God, that you've been nudging and they know it right now. And it's just time to act and to find their spot as a part of our church family, at work, in their homes. You just lead us, Lord. We thank you that you are our one thing. And we praise you, Jesus, today for that. In your precious name I pray. Amen.